Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 38th episode of Edu All-Stars. We want to thank you for being here this evening and encourage you throughout the conversation tonight to use the hashtag Edu All-Stars so we can see everything that you are talking about as we talk about on the show tonight. My name is Todd Nesloni. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd. My co-hosts tonight are...
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler.
My name is Keegan Wade. You can find me on Twitter at NageeK14, Keegan backwards, N-A-G-E-E-K.
And we are excited today to have our guest, Brad Gustafson, who is an innovative principal at Greenwood Elementary School in Plymouth, Minnesota, doing incredible things to push his school to think outside the box. Thanks, Brad, for being with us tonight.
Hey, guys. I'm pumped to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, you have been somebody that I have wanted to have on for quite a while, so I am very excited that we finally get to sit down and get you on the show and get to talk to you a little bit. But I guess the way we kind of start is, you know, can you just give us a little bit of background of how you got started in education?
Sure. Well, like I think a lot of your guests, my mom was a teacher, so I grew up in that learning atmosphere. Yeah, exactly. I think Kyle Pace said his mom was a middle school teacher last week, and that, and the paper correcting at all sorts of crazy hours, and the master's program and such, and I think I was just indoctrinated that way. So that's the abbreviated version. If I was to really dive in, I think the biggest catalyst for my taking hold in the profession were the two teachers that I student taught under, just inspirational people in the North Branch District, and kind of solidified how important it is to have those early mentors in your life. So I don't know if it was a stroke of luck or a God thing, but I'm thankful for it.
So what did you start doing when you first ended up in education?
Yeah, so I started, you know, I did a long-term sub position for a few months in first grade, and that was an adventure. I remember going home each night just dead tired and collapsing on the floor. I kid you not, talking to my wife, I'm like, this is insane, how the energy and such. And I loved every second of it, but I just couldn't believe how tired I was. And then I eventually ended up in a second grade classroom, loved that, and I think I built up teaching stamina a little bit and had a little more energy and caught my groove and probably became a little more efficient too. That's probably a big part of it.
So what did you teach again? After second grade, was it like a self-contained? Did you teach just math or science or?
Yeah, it was all subjects. So, you know, it was kind of self-contained. Our team, and actually this was in North Branch. We had, when I first started, 10 or 11 second grade sections in the building. It was a pretty big school. So we did some flex grouping and such and shared students and tried to level some things for them. So it was self-contained, but we did have a chance to meet all the kids in the school.
And when did you decide to move out of the classroom? Did you get your master's while you were teaching, or did you do that beforehand?
So I got my master's while I was teaching, and really I always tell people when they say they're interested in doing that, I'm like, go for it. It was the best learning that I ever had at that point in my career, the level of reflection and stuff. So that was happening, and I was really coming into my own just a little bit, enjoying it more and more. And then my principal stopped by one day, and you know, God bless her for this, but she handed me a brochure for a principal program, and I was kind of caught aback. You know, I'm like, what is this? You know, wow. Am I not doing a good job, or what's the deal? And she's like, I think you might like this. At that time, I still am addicted to learning, but I just thought, okay, I'll take the classes, and I honestly had no intent to do that, but I took them, and then the more I began to think along those lines, I just thought, you know what, some of the things that I really value in my classroom, I'd like to see come to fruition on a building level. So that's the short story there.
And how long have you been an administrator?
This is my sixth year.
Wow.
And time just flies. You know, in the classroom, time just flew. You never had to look at the clock. It was like you're begging for an extra hour or two with your students. It's the same exact thing as a principal. I mean, you know, you look at the clock, it's 1 o'clock, you're like, are you kidding me? Where did the day go? And then it's whatever time, and you're like, okay, my wife probably wants to see me.
Yeah, so like you said, you're a principal. So what would you say are a few good qualities that you think great educators possess or that you look for when you're hiring teachers?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the more complicated jobs that I could ever imagine a person doing. So there are quite a few lenses and skills that we like our teachers to have. At the rock bottom core of it, we need teachers with kids and families, and everything else kind of, that's the foundation for everything. So I would start there. So that involves, you know, a high EQ. It involves the ability to communicate and listen and show empathy and humility. And then some of the more exciting things that I also look for are those 21st century skills and a real commitment to put kids in situations where they are doing things that they never thought possible.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah,
what would you say has been the most difficult aspect of being an administrator, and then at the same time on the opposite of that spectrum, the most rewarding?
Yeah, well, for sure the most difficult was when I moved. I left, you know, you never really leave the classroom, but I quote-unquote left the classroom to become a principal in a smaller town in southwest Minnesota. And I missed those deep relationships with kids that I had every single day. You know, the 27, however many kids I had in my class, it's just different as a principal, and you want to know their name. And learning hundreds of names, it's just different, and having those conversations. I was also surprised and continue to be the amount of need that there is, whether it's from a social-emotional standpoint or just, you know, kids are hurting, and they come to school for an education, but they also come to be validated and be protected and all of those sorts of things. So it was a little bit overwhelming initially leaving the classroom, because I was only used to maybe one or two kids a year having pretty significant things that I was helping with. But as a school principal, you're connected to all sorts of really important stuff, and you get to see firsthand how everyone works kind of in concert, like an orchestra supporting kids across the school level. So that was the... probably the big shocker. And I found ways, this isn't intended to be a sob story, I mean, I found ways to connect with kids now, so I'm just feeling like I'm thriving and knowing them and doing things that otherwise, if I wasn't connecting with them, the whole reason I went into education, I probably wouldn't be here today. So.
Yeah. So how important do you think it is for administrators to be using and modeling technology, and do you use anything, you know, with your campus that is maybe kind of cutting edge or kind of leading the way for your teachers to help learn to use that?
Yeah, well, you're starting off with the heavy stuff here, Chris.
Huh? That's Chris.
I changed the question, too. Did you notice that, Don?
Yeah, I did. Anyway. You skipped around the stuff a little bit.
I thought I would at least get a couple softballs. All right, so how important do I think it is? I don't say this about much. I don't know if I've ever said it about anything, but I think it's a moral imperative that we have this lens. And I call it a lens because it's important as principals and teachers and educators to have all sorts of different lenses. You have to have a cultural proficiency. You have to have good instructional leadership. But this digital leadership lens is not something that's optional anymore. In fact, I think every one of us has it. It's just a matter of where on the continuum you are in owning and embracing that lens. So for me, it's a non-negotiable. And everyone, you know, regardless of whether you're, you know, 18 degrees and just going into the field, or 60 degrees or 60 years old and still going strong, we are digital leaders, and our kids are counting on us for their tomorrow. And I've never been more convicted about that.
That's awesome.
As I am today.
Cool. Okay.
Hello. Keegan, that's you.
Okay. I couldn't hear anyone anymore.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Well, all right. I love to read books, and I find myself asking this question every week, but is there a book that you're currently reading?
Yep, I'm reading Digital Leadership by Eric Schoeninger.
That's a good one. I'm reading that too right now.
Mm-hmm. I heard about that one. What is it? I'm not entirely
so, sure. And it's, I'm only, you know, actually maybe two chapters in. I've read I'm like just eating this up. I've read the foreword, the preface, every little thing before chapter one, and now I'm somewhere in chapter two, and it's been really neat to read this because it's kind of validating some of the things that I'm feeling and believing and some of the passions that I have for preparing kids for their future. So, in essence, it's a book, I think maybe it's marketed to educational leaders, but to be sure, it would be a great book for teachers, for student teachers, really anyone that's working with kids needs to have the lens that Eric, he actually calls them six pillars of digital leadership, but it's just so, so important. I think part of my personality is I'm a little bit visionary in that I just kind of imagine not just how things are, but how they could be, or maybe how I think they should be for kids. But this idea of an authentic audience. Nowhere in history have we been able to give kids an authentic audience like we can today because of, I think, because of technology. And it's not all about the tech. I say it, I hear you guys say it all the time. It's about giving them the 21st century skills, and it just so happens that a lot of times technology can support or enhance that learning process, and when done responsibly, it can really put kids in a position to be ready for their tomorrow, and that's what it's all about. But the thing I was thinking about today was this idea of a digital footprint, or, you know, by the time kids are 18, wouldn't it be neat if they had a resume of sorts, all of these rich experiences in school, and I'm talking K-12, robust, rigorous assignments where they were collaborating with other kids, they were communicating, they were showing critical thinking, whether that means creating iBooks or even developing challenges and projects that the world can see, or even that their grandparents can see, that they send a link to. That's what we want. No longer is it enough to have the just the construction paper projects in the hallway and maybe going home on the fridge. I mean, really, there's more to it. And then as from a marketability standpoint and being globally competitive, these kids are going to be entering the workforce. We owe it to them to start fostering the digital learning, digital leadership at a really young age so that they are ready. It's not something that you can just pour on in ninth grade. So,
well, you know, talking about being a digital learner and getting that for your kids, you are also considered as a connected educator. And I know you just recently stepped into that realm. How did that happen for you, and why did you decide to connect online via social media?
Yeah, well, that is that's just a great question. And the reason I love that question, Todd, is because I, with the experience that I've had now and all the connections that I've made and how my learning really has been supercharged, do you guys hear that typing? Or is that just
me?
Yeah,
I think that's Keegan.
Oh. You're a fast typer. You must have taken some good keyboarding classes, too. He's not even looking at the keyboard.
Yeah.
Oh, as far as connecting online, though, for me, I think it started out as a competition where we were at ISTE a couple years ago, and I feel like our tech director gave us a challenge, and I'm just this super competitive person, and he's like, at the end of this conference, you're gonna sign up for Twitter and in one tweet share a takeaway or something you learned. And it wasn't the fact that I was connecting or starting Twitter. I always thought Twitter was literally for showing pictures of your lunch or, you know, good sandwiches you made, but I thought, okay, I'll go on to Twitter, I'll do this tweet and try and win the contest for ISTE.
That's cool.
I did and, tweet than me, but then I started pay. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You lagged out for a second. I thought you were finished. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. So anyways, I didn't close down the Twitter account. I kind of watched and was maybe moderately depressed that I only had 3.5 followers, and I just thought, what is this? I don't get it. But I just assumed the role, embraced the role of learner, and I, you know, connect with people like Terry Eichholz in Texas and Drew Minock and Brad Wade, and just became a sponge and a learner, and thought the greatest thing on earth. So now I'm privileged to be able to connect with people in our school who are just absolutely amazing, and with people across the country and world for that matter, and in some cases share out the stuff that our teachers are doing, and in other cases bring in resources and blog posts and things like that. So it was one of the best serendipitous moves I've ever been a part of. It's been truly life-changing.
Have you noticed a change in your staff since you got connected and you being able to share out things that you hadn't learned about before?
Well, that's a hard question because I think I have a deep reverence for our staff, and I think they've always done just truly amazing things. I feel like my lens has been sharpened and changed a little bit so that I have a little more focus on the things that I think matter. Here's a good comparison for you. When I started as a principal, you get all of these initiatives from the state and from the district, and they're really it's important stuff, and our kids are counting on us to implement with fidelity. Now this digital leadership lens helps me understand how things fit together and where we want to go for our kids so that we're doing these things and really putting them in a position to be successful long term. So if anything, I'm a little more focused in my interactions. I harness in, or I key in on some staff passions a little bit more. I'm able to give them better things instead of just me being, you know, the old traditional manager of a school that the role of the principal.
And I think he's coming back. There he is. Are you there, Brad?
Yeah, was I gone?
Yeah,
you were. Yeah.
We lost you for 5 seconds or so.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. No, it was good stuff, too. I assure you, it was brilliant.
It was all tweet-worthy, I'm sure.
Oh, exactly.
That's awesome. So were some of your teachers on Twitter before you got on Twitter?
Yeah, I would assume so. So it's still a I talk about the value. I think before I ask anyone to do anything, I want them to understand the value for their practice. So I talk about that a lot. I'm modeling sharing and such. I haven't mandated that we all join Twitter because I think Twitter is a means to an end. For me, it's the best means I've found with regard to the connectivity and collaboration. But I think we'll get there eventually. And, yeah, we have quite a few. Well, I shouldn't say quite a few. We have a handful, definitely, and they're all using it in different ways. So I'll have conversations, and we have a couple that are starting Classroom Twitter accounts, which I think is a really neat way to connect. We have one that just started. He's organizing some mystery Skypes. We have one that has had an account for a while. We have one that's more of, I think the word is lurker, where she's just learning, and then she'll connect offline with her colleagues. So
cool. Yeah, it's a slow process, I would assume, for a campus. Mm-hmm. And I was always a big fan of trying to get my principal to mandate, oh, let's just all do it. But, you know, at the same time, you're asking people to, you know, give up some of their free time in the evening. And so I understand that perspective, too. And, you know, it's something I love to do, but it may not be something that everyone loves to do. So, so I know you've done a lot with augmented reality, and one of which is the World Book Talk. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But can you tell us a little bit about how you kind of found out about augmented reality and just kind of what made you kind of fall in love with it?
Sure. So I would say this summer, as I was getting more and more into Twitter and just the learning that it
Good answer.
We lost you again, Brad.
Just having all these apps just do everything that everyone is tweeting, because, you know, as a high achiever like we all are, we want to do everything and we want to learn it all. So I picked augmented reality as one of the three things I was really going to focus on. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good deal. Yeah. And so I picked augmented reality as one that I was going to focus on and try to understand what the educational value was. And the more I put it in front of kids, and one of my favorite stories actually is when I put it in front of our tech integrationist, our specialist, who is just amazing, his first response was, holy cow. And when you get that from a tech integrationist, you can only imagine how kids respond to it. I mean, they love it, and it meets some of the side goals, Chris, that I have for, you know, how do we amplify kids' voices? So that's life and learning beyond the worksheet, and augmented reality and creation along those lines is certainly one tool to do that.
Yeah, it's cool. Also, touching on augmented reality, I heard about something called augmented ambush. yeah, that was interesting.
That was, I thought about doing an ambush on you guys tonight. I didn't want to be
I was wondering if that was coming.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be a one-trick pony, but the truth of the matter is I've been sick all day, and I've just been sleeping and just kind of mustering up enough energy here to connect with you guys. Yeah. But I had, I think Todd has a Donald Duck or a Daffy Duck, and I was going to do something to that on his wall. But sorry, guys. I just had to save my energy.
Okay. I can go downstairs and we can replay the old one if you want.
There you go.
So what is it? What is augmented? Now I'm lost. I'm curious.
I was on the Two Guys show several months ago, and I thought, boy, it'd be really cool since Drew and Brad are my augmented reality idols to surprise them a little bit and embed an aura in their house. So I went back to some old show footage. And Brad Wade had already changed his background. I think he faces his computer a different way. So anyways, I found the, I think it was Manchester United. Is that right, Keegan?
The Manchester City flag.
You guys Okay, oh, the Manchester City flag. And then I embedded an aura, and I just made a goofy one of me with a foam finger that said, like, two guys show on it, just to show that I was fans of theirs. And I said, Brad, you'll never believe this. I put an aura in your house. So he got a kick out of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, oh, he flipped out on the show. He was like a little kid in a candy store.
Yeah, I heard all about it. Now, can you tell us a little more about World Book Talk? Like, what is it? How does it start? And how can other teachers get involved?
Okay, so if you go on Twitter, it's hashtag World Book Talk, and there'll be an abundance of tweets and resources. But in its purest form, it's a global collection of book talks from kids and teachers and authors around the world. And anyone could participate. I'm collaborating with a teacher out of Texas, and you could follow her on Twitter. It's Heather Cooper.
Google tends to cut out at like just the right moment where you're like, what was he going to say?
Yeah.
Heather Cooper, who?
Her Twitter handle. I don't hear him talk about it much. Todd, you got to talk about your book a little more. It's so good. But it's called Spruce and Lucy. And we ordered it, and we read it to each classroom and grade at our school. Our social worker and myself walked around, and I had asked Todd to create a custom greeting that we used augmented reality on, and we embedded it on the photograph on his book, about the author one. And he just gave an uplifting talk to the kids, and it was neat to be able to connect them to him. And I was just thinking, and then Heather and I were kind of collaborating on this, you know, what if kids could connect with other kids? And you know, that's an authentic audience above and beyond a book report. And what if they could create their own and build background knowledge by being either a consumer and just checking out other kids' book talks, or what if they could actually create? So it's an exciting project, and we're growing the library just as people submit. And on my blog, I have a tab that will teach anyone who's interested how to submit. It's pretty painless. But all you need is the Erasma augmented reality app, and you have to follow the World Book Talk channel. I have a staff training coming up on, it's an optional one, but it's on the World Book Talk, and really it I've been telling people this applies to anyone. You don't have to be a quote-unquote literacy teacher, but you could be the art teacher. You could be anyone in the building, and there are some connections where this, if you set up a channel in Erasma, you could do some pretty cool things. But I actually have purchased, our school won a grant through the foundation, and it's an innovative grant, and we were able to buy some titles for kids and for teachers, and then it'll pay for the professional development after hours. But I'm going to lay out several professional titles from, like, Angela Myers, Eric Scheniger. I bought some of the Flipped book, Flipped 2.0, Todd, and some other ones, and the teachers are actually going to go through the same experience that kids might do during a Daily 5 lesson where they'll be able to pick out a few different books just based on listening to that book talk so that they can kind of feel what it's like and why that matters and how it can activate your background knowledge, and you can maybe make some decisions about what you want to read and what you're not interested in just based on book talks. So
cool. Well, switching gears just a little bit, and kind of focusing on you a little more, if you could go back 5 or 10 years and you know, give yourself some advice, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give yourself from 5, 10 years ago?
I would have joined Twitter earlier, because that has just been the greatest learning. You know, I'm in a doctoral program now. I have the master's degree. I work in an amazing school with great PD, but Twitter has just supercharged my learning, and it's just very difficult to explain that to anyone who hasn't experienced it firsthand. I recently wrote a blog, and I compared it to Finding Nemo, that East Australian current at the end where the turtles are supercharging by Australia. If you're not in that current, you just don't know that, you know, life is good and you're fine. But once you're in that and you break through the befuddlement, you're like, oh, this is okay and this is working. And then you realize just how kind of amazing things are. So that would probably be, other than that, I don't know. What have some other people, how have some other people answered that?
I mean, that was good. I mean,
they all said that they would have gotten out of teaching like 5 or 10 years ago and done something else. No, that's not true.
Oh,
that's not
true. No.
No, that's not true.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah, if I had to say one other...
So what about...
Say that again, Chris. Yeah,
go ahead. Is there one other thing?
Okay. If I had to say one other thing, I have this in my office on my board, but it's really ingrained now, just almost, it's tattoo worthy, but just a couple different things. Amplify student voice. I always want to have that lens where how are we putting kids in the center of their learning? And, you know, 5-10 years ago, that wasn't at the forefront. I think I was maybe thinking, how can I teach a really great lesson? And it was more about me as a teacher than it was about the kids. Concept of an authentic audience, it is really prevalent for me, and I wish 5 years ago I would have had it be so near and dear to my heart. So kids now, as they're creating things, maybe they're making an iBook and sharing that with their grandparents online, or just doing all sorts of things that were never possible. That's another example. And then just the global awareness and connections piece. I think for so long the tradition has been it's all about life in the classroom and building that community, but the community can be so enriched by special visitors and just an awareness of other cultures. And you know, recently, Steve Messler, an Olympic gold champion, I connected with Todd, and I said, hey, do you think Steve would consider doing a special video for our school? And Todd's like, yeah, I don't know, I think so. So I hooked up with Steve, and he created the most inspiring custom greeting for our kids for I Love to Read Month. And he even it was a well-done video, just heartfelt, but he also had his gold medal, and I asked him to put it up to the camera just so our kids could see that up close. But where I never would have had that global awareness 5 years ago, so that's another thing that I wish I would have had a little sooner, that we can dream really big dreams for our kids and for our schools, and that we shouldn't be held back really by anything.
And Steve is a great guy. I mean, he is one really awesome guy doing some incredible things with this Classroom Champions program. So I know he was talking about how pumped he was to get to do that for you. So
if you want to hear Steve, you can go back to Edu All Stars episode 1 and listen to our interview with Steve Messler.
That's right.
He kind of started off on our little journey here with Edu All Stars. So
he was our very first guest.
Yeah. Yeah, we were both terrified, like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And
yeah, exactly. I haven't even watched that show since we did it, so I'm
sure.
Yeah,
I know. Cool. I'd like to go back and watch it, too. So what about advice to give to some of your teachers looking to incorporate more tech? Like, what would you tell them to start, or what would you tell them to do?
Yeah, I feel like when we have this conversation, like whether I'm meeting with a new teacher or during an observation, we always talk about what are your learning objectives instead of how can we use this tech. We talk about what are your learning objectives, then we factor in that authentic audience, the student voice, and things like that, and then often the tech will spring from that in a purposeful way. So I guess that would be my advice, center of their learning, and often tech will do that. And you know, creation is another, really any lesson that you're doing could be amped up through student creation and some of those other 21st century skills, collaboration. It's amazing. If you just give kids a little bit of rope and the tools, they will blow your mind away, often probably, as you guys know, because they're so motivated to have the tools and to be able to unleash their creativity. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, what's a major goal of yours this year?
Yeah. Well, we have 3 school goals, and I don't mean to be too principally, Keegan, but we've tried to stick to our school goals, high achievement for each and every student, and we're specifically focused in reading, meaningful technology integration, and then building relationships with staff and with the kiddos. So those are our 3 goals, and one of the things I always think that one of the most innovative things a principal can do is actually give his or her staff the chance to breathe and have some protected time to work and think. They can innovate themselves. Did I cut out again?
Yes.
Yeah, just for a second, yeah.
Oh, bummer.
You said one of the greatest things I think a principal can do is give his staff time to...
Yeah, just protected time to breathe and innovate themselves. There are so many things coming at teachers, whether it's new curriculum mandates or just working with parents and partnering with parents. It's a big job, and if a principal can provide a little bit of focus and time for teachers to unleash their creativity, that's innovation right there. So.
I like that. I like that your goals are for other people to achieve theirs, or you set a goal for other people. I like that.
Yeah, and Keegan, we actually, at the beginning of the year, had a site goal-setting meeting, so it wasn't necessarily my goals, but the team came up with those goals, and I'm just really proud of their work, too. For example, I wouldn't have thought of this, but one of them brought up the relational aspect and how that was so, just it's the underpinning of all we do, and if we can just celebrate each other and our uniqueness and getting along and trust, we can do amazing things for kids, so that was a goal that came straight from our staff, and we're just trying to do some purposeful things even with that and with kids too. And then I think it also has a neat side effect where it gives us permission sometimes, where if you're super worried about test prep and some of those things, one of our school goals is building relationships, so we have permission to have fun and embrace that with our kiddos. That's
awesome. I love that.
Yeah, here's a fun tech story for you guys. Our third graders recently went tubing to a Elm Creek tube place, which is really cool. And they went over the lunch hour and part of their kind of FIAT specialist time, and it was a shorter trip. But regardless, that there's a great example of having fun and just being together and appreciating the kids and the classmates. But we sent a GoPro, you know, the mountable video camera.
Yeah.
We took some footage going down the hills. So we got a little bit of tech in there. And it's like that camera footage, I'm going to do a blog post. It is priceless.
Awesome. I can imagine. With third graders, yeah. Right, is what you said?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, Brad, one question that we always kind of like to end on and that we like to get our guests' answer for is, what are you really passionate about right now?
Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that I'm passionate about and is preparing kids for their future. And it's hard to explain, but I'll try to do it really succinctly. I feel like they're now, they'll never get another now with us right now. So I feel like we have to innovate and get it right and give them things that are different than we experienced as kids and maybe even as teachers 5 years ago. That's the biggest thing. It's not different for the sake of being different. It's different because our kids need it. Because when they're 18 and when they're entering the workforce, technology is ubiquitous right now. And these kids need the skills to be able to have the digital citizenship and be able to leverage social media to build partnerships and connections and do all.
Oh no.
All these things. So I think it's a moral imperative. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Keegan, that's you.
Oh, my bad. all right, well, thanks for coming on with us, Brad. We really appreciate it. It's been great talking to you. Been a couple technical difficulties, but it's been great overall.
Hey, we got it, and it was great, Brad, so you did good.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I hope I didn't come across too sick here. I'm still battling some sort of bug, so.
Yeah, that's
right. Cool. So, yeah, you can connect with us online on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ. You can use the hashtag EduAllStars. You can check out our website, www.eduallstars.com. You can look at all the old podcasts and check out our new updates and see what's going on. And on iTunes, you can search EduAllStars with no spaces and look at all of the podcasts up to date.
And then going forward, Todd's going to be traveling to Michigan over the next couple of weeks, and we'll also be having our spring break. So we're going to take a couple-week hiatus, and we'll be back with our all-new episode with author award-winning teacher Rafe Esketh on March 24th at 8 o'clock Central. Looking forward to that one, and he's doesn't talk to very many people, so we're really...
And he's not on social media either.
Yeah,
so
we're really fortunate to have that guest, and Todd does a great job booking all the guests, and so we're really, really anticipating that one.
Well, thanks again, Brad. We appreciate you giving us some of your time this Monday evening, even with you feeling a little under the weather. Yeah, so thank you for doing that for us.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
See you later.
Yeah, take care. Feel better.
Yeah, thank you.